one, and it can't be used in a sentence. This is hard.
Well, there are only a million names, so yeah.
He had a nice smile. His top teeth were straight, but the bottom ones were competing for space, smashed together in a slightly crooked row.
And I think those are the only questions you can ask about a name. So do you give up?
No, those are not the only questions about a name. Is it a place?
I'm sure everyone can find a place with their name.
So not a place that you know of then?
No.
Okay, so not Dallas or Houston then?
You have a thing for Texas?
Those were just the first ones I thought of. I looked around the car and wondered if there were any clues in there, mail or notes. There was nothing.
Are you trying to cheat?
Maybe. So your sister's name is Beck. Can you tell me about any special meaning behind that? I asked, thinking maybe there was a theme.
That's not a yes or no question. Are we done with the game?
Okay, Mr. Rule Follower. I withdraw the question. He turned down the radio that had been the background noise of our conversation.
My sister is named after Rebecca, from the Bible. But that won't help you because my dad named my sister, and my mom named me. My dad is very religious. My mom's a hippie, free-loving painter.
Really? How did that happen?
My mom entered some paintings into an art show put on by the church my dad attended. 20 years later, and they're still together.
Cool.
Yes, they are pretty cool.
I stared at the glowing numbers of the radio station. It wasn't a station I ever listened to, so I didn't recognize the quietly playing song at all. You know what we've succeeded in doing with this game?
What's that?
Increasing the anticipation. He laughed.
I know, right? Can I just be Phil and Bradley forever?
No. I turned toward him in my seat. I really want to know your name. He gripped the wheel and stared at the road. The sun had set, and the sky had turned gray, and was darkening more with each passing minute. He licked his lips, and his voice went husky and soft.
The seen, the known, dissolve in iridescence, become elusive flesh of light that was not, was, forever is.
I wasn't sure what he had just said, but I knew I wanted him to say it again. That's beautiful. What is it?
Part of a poem. When my mom was pregnant with me, she went to see an art show that came through town. Monet's Water Lilies were some of those paintings, and a poem by Robert Hayden was displayed with them. She had always loved the painting, but that day she fell in love with the poem, so she named me after the poet.
Robert?
No.
Hayden. I realized I had said it with a bit of reverence, and I cleared my throat to pretend that was why.
Is it disappointing?
No, not at all. I like it a lot.
I'm kind of fond of it as well.
Way better than Phil and Bradley.
How is Bradley anyway?
He gave me a sideways glance. I don't know. I haven't talked to him since that night. I'd been telling too many lies lately, so I felt the need to add. He texted me. I tried to call him back and he didn't answer. Then he called me back, but I missed it. Then I left a message for him. I haven't decided if I'm going to call him again.
What's the deciding factor?
That was a good question. He should have been gone. I didn't need to call him for him to be gone. I don't know. I shouldn't be deciding at all. He left me at prom, in the parking lot. I wasn't expecting it. I was talking aloud without filtering my thoughts at all, so I shut my mouth before I said other things I didn't mean to. He raised his eyebrows, but I couldn't read his expression. A large bug hit the windshield with a thump. He turned on the wipers, spraying water to clear it away.
You wanted it to end on your terms?
Yes. I mean, no. I didn't want it to end. Maybe. What about you? Beck was right, wasn't she? You really do want your girlfriend back. He let out a breath.
Possibly.
That was as close to, of course I do, as it got for guys, I thought, but I played along. What's the deciding factor? He tapped the steering wheel with his thumbs, took a deep breath, and said,
Tonight, I guess.
Chapter 13. Hayden. He laughed as he turned off the engine.
Are you just saying it to say it again, or do you actually have something to say this time?
Mostly I'm just saying it because I can, but I do have a question.
What's that?
Are you studying acting?
Yes.
Good. You're very talented at it. He met my eyes.
Thank you.
And what about poetry? Your mom named you after a poet. Did you come to appreciate it?
Are you nervous about getting out of the car?
Unlike you, I am not an actor. I was afraid I'd ruin his ploy to get back with Eve due to my terrible acting skills.
No need to be. We're here as friends, right? No acting involved.
Right. He reached for the car door handle. Wait, let me fix your hair.
Seriously?
Seriously. You want her to want you, right? I thought he'd leave, but instead he turned toward me with a tired look on his face. I quickly grabbed the gel from my purse before he changed his mind. The key is to only use a little. The gel was blue and claimed super support, so I squeezed out a dime-sized drop onto my palm, rubbed my hands together, then pushed them through his hair. You actually have really great hair. It just looks like your mom cut it.
You don't even know my mom.
Well, any mom. The front of his hair was drooping a bit, so I gave it one last pass, then smiled. There.
Your work is done?
He asked. I met his eyes and realized my styling process had closed the space between us. I backed up. Yes, she'll be all over you by the end of the night.
Who knew hair was that powerful?
He kept his gaze on me, the one that seemed to search my soul. Then a smile spread across his lips. My heart gave a jump that surprised me, and I quickly dropped my gaze. I took my cell phone and lip gloss out of my purse and slipped them into my pocket while he opened his door and got out. By the time I tucked my purse with the rest of its contents under the seat, he was on my side of the car opening my door. He gave me a hand out. After he shut and locked the doors, he faced the house, and I could see him visibly take a breath, the air flowing into his lungs, causing his shoulders to rise and fall.
Are you nervous? I asked, a little surprised. Maybe. Thanks for coming with me.
Of course.
Okay, here we go.
Hayden?
Yes, Gia?
Nothing. I just wanted to say your name. He smiled, which was what I was hoping for. He just needed to relax. I knew Beck wanted me here to keep him away from Eve, but who was I to stop him if that's what he really wanted? He led me up the walk and around the side of the house to a gate that was propped open. Oh, look at that. Your ex-girlfriend's house backs up to the ocean. I had known we were close to the beach. I could hear the waves and smell the ocean breeze, but I hadn't realized we were this close.
Pretty cool, right?
The secluded beach was full of people eating, talking, dancing. Hayden scanned the area, and I could tell when he saw her because he went still. I followed his gaze and went still myself. It wasn't that she was drop-dead gorgeous or anything, but just looking at her, I could tell she had more quirk and personality than I'd ever have. Her hair was a shockingly white blonde that she wore choppy, one side longer than the other. Mine was brown, and boringly all the same length. She was short and curvy, while I was tall and lean. She wore a t-shirt that said something on the front I couldn't read, but I was sure it was funny, or odd, just like Hayden's were. They belonged together, and after tonight, they probably would be back together. He wanted it. And from the way she was now looking at Hayden, her eyes lighting up with joy, it was obvious she wanted it too. Beck was going to kill me. Eve waved, and he nodded. I'm just going to take off my sandals. I didn't realize we'd be on the sand. Wedges were not right for this. I should have worn flip-flops. No wonder Beck had given me that look.
Sure.
Can I just put them back in your car?
Of course.
He handed me the keys, but didn't offer to walk me. Okay, then. I guess I'll see you in a minute. I walked back to his car, unbuckled my sandals, and threw them in the back seat. Normally, I was so confident walking into a new place. Why did I feel so nervous now? Maybe I shouldn't have come. All I'd wanted was to see Hayden again, find out his motivations for going to prom with me so I could stop obsessing about it, so that things could go back to normal. I'd done that. But I was here now. I could stay for a little while for Hayden's sake. We were only 20 minutes from my house. Maybe once Hayden and Eve got back together, I could call my brother or Claire for a ride and head over to the other party. I followed the path back to the beach. Hayden had moved about 20 feet farther into the party, but was now talking to Eve and another guy. I had several options: a food table across the way, a makeshift dance floor, or a group surrounding a bonfire. Or, of course, I could go see how Hayden was faring. I chose that option. I took two steps in his direction, and my foot landed on something sharp. With a quick breath between my teeth, I checked to make sure it wasn't glass. It was just a piece of shell, and it was only a surface scratch. I brushed off my foot, then joined Hayden. So the second I took off my shoes, I stepped on a Gia, Hayden interrupted, grabbing my hand and pulling me to his side. I stumbled slightly, but he held me firm.
I want you to meet Eve and Ryan.
Hi.
And guys, this is my girlfriend Gia.
He slid a hand down my back and gave me a lingering kiss on the cheek after the announcement.
Whoa, what?
In the 2 minutes I'd been gone, something had changed, and I wasn't sure what. I turned on a smile and held out my hand. Nice to meet you. The guy grabbed my hand.
Good to meet you.
When he let go, he took Eve's. Oh, and there it was. Beck was wrong. It was option number one Eve was interested in. She wanted Hayden here to make sure he was still pining over her, but she was still very much attached to whoever this guy was. Eve's brilliant smile had faded just a bit as she took me in. From this close, I could see her t-shirt. It said, "I like turtles." I wasn't sure if it was supposed to be funny or if she really did have a thing for turtles.
"You brought someone," she said. "I didn't realize you were dating anyone."
Hayden, in all his smoothness, said,
"I hope that's okay. The invitation said plus one."
The invitation said plus one? And here she looked like she was in shock that he'd actually brought someone.
"Right, it did. I know how close you and your sister are, so I thought, but yes, of course, it's fine. Come get something to eat. I'm sure you want to catch up with some people you haven't talked to in a while. Everyone is here."
"Yes, I'd love for Gia to meet everyone. You ready, hon?"
I took his offered hand and squeezed it.
"Yes."
We started to walk away, then I turned back. "Oh, and thanks for inviting us, Eve. This looks amazing. Happy graduation." She nodded me a thanks and then walked the other way.
I'm sorry.
Hayden mumbled under his breath as we walked toward a long table full of food by the patio of the house.
"Don't be. I owe you."
We stopped in front of the table, and I stared at the food spread before us.
"Are you hungry?"
His gaze was on the ocean in the distance, his jaw tight. It seemed as though he hadn't heard my question at all. I put my hand on his back.
"You okay?"
I didn't know why I asked him that. It was obvious he wasn't. He had come here tonight thinking his ex-girlfriend had invited him because she wanted to get back together with him, and he had just found out she hadn't.
"Hayden."
"What? Yes, food. Let's eat. Are you hungry?"
"We can leave. We don't have to stay."
"We're staying."
He said it like I had dared him not to, and he was rising to the challenge.
"Okay, we're staying. You have other friends here, right?"
He nodded.
"Then let's have fun."
"Deal."
We each filled a plate with food and then found two empty seats at a round table. He greeted several people, then scooted his chair extra close to mine. While he ate with one hand, his other was always resting on the back of my chair, or on my shoulder, or playing with the ends of my hair. I knew it was for show, and I had to keep telling myself that as chills radiated down my spine every time he touched me.
"Where have you been? I haven't seen you at school lately,"
a guy from across the table asked. I was grateful for the distraction, because Hayden moved both elbows to the table and leaned forward as he spoke.
"I've been around, busy with graduation stuff."
Busy being a recluse, according to Beck.
"Well, it's good to see you. Where are you going to school next semester?"
"San Luis. You?"
"Me too."
The guy looked at me then.
"You put up with this guy, huh?"
I smiled.
"You don't go to school with us, do you?"
I started to say no, but Hayden beat me to the answer.
She goes to Beck's new school. We met through her.
In a way, I guess we kind of did. He was dropping Beck off for prom. I dragged him in to be my date.
Cool,
the guy said. Then he stood, gave a head nod, and walked away carrying his empty plate. Hayden pointed at the olives I had picked off my pizza.
What's going on there?
I'm not an olive fan.
There were other options without olives.
I like the flavor the olives leave on the pizza. I just don't like the texture of the olive itself. He laughed, then popped one of my discarded olives into his mouth.
Weirdo.
Hey.
I like weird. Normal is so boring.
Right. The problem was that I was the very definition of normal. He'd probably just learned the most interesting thing there was to know about me. I was not Eve. Not that it mattered. I looked around and realized we were the only two sitting at the table now, leaving plenty of room for when Eve and her boyfriend wandered over and joined us.
I'm so glad you came,
she said again, when she sat down with her own food in the chair right next to Hayden, so close she could put her hand on his knee when she talked, and she did. It was obvious Hayden had been trying to make her jealous, and it was obvious it was working. Maybe he'd get his wish by the end of the night after all.
I didn't think you would,
she continued. Her hand finally came off his leg. I wondered if my death glare had anything to do with it. She had no right to waltz around messing with Hayden's head. He may have wanted her back, but Beck was right. This girl was bad news. I was suddenly on board with Beck's plan of keeping this girl far away from Hayden. I leaned my shoulder against his.
Why didn't you think I'd come?
Hayden asked, meeting her stare. I was proud of the way he didn't react, just gave her a look that seemed innocent.
I should have known you would, she said. You're such a nice guy. Isn't he a nice guy, Mia?
Her name is Gia,
Hayden said. It's fine, babe, I said to him. Then I looked at her. I never get mad when people hear my name wrong because I think to myself, maybe they have hearing issues. Excess earwax or something. Hayden coughed once, and I could tell it was to keep himself from laughing. You might want to get that checked out, Eve. Eve's expression had gone 10 degrees cooler.
I don't have wax in my ears. Sometimes you just mumble, Hayden. Like last year in the school play when the whole audience thought you said, I want to kill you. When you were supposed to say, I want to kiss you.
Hayden, who had been pretty stoic since we came, cracked a smile.
Well, my line was better anyway.
I know. Why wouldn't Skye want to kill Sarah, right? She laughed. Ryan looked as lost in this conversation as I was. Great. Inside jokes.
Kill me, baby,
Eve said, in what sounded like a New York accent. I was willing to kill her if that's what she was asking. Hayden didn't seem like he was on board with that plan, though, his smile still lingering. Ryan put his arm around Eve, and Hayden moved back an inch, his face going hard again. I grabbed his hand and he turned to me. He brushed a kiss to my cheek so I closed my eyes. When I opened them, he said,
I want to dance with you.
Using that husky voice he sometimes did. I let him take me to the makeshift dance floor across the sand. I let him wrap my arms up around his neck and then rest his hands on my hips. For one moment, I forgot we had an audience, and it was for them that we were performing this show. He made me forget I had come here to try to get him out of my head. He leaned down, and I thought he was going to whisper something sweet in my ear when he said,
You're a better actor than you give yourself credit for.
Those words jolted my thoughts back into the right place. I am, aren't I? Chapter 14. So what's the story? Who's Ryan? I nodded back toward the table where he and Eve still sat, her head on his shoulder.
He's my best friend. Well, was my best friend since the fifth grade.
A line formed between his eyes with this admission.
Ouch.
I'm sorry.
It happens.
That doesn't mean it doesn't suck when it does.
We exchanged a few black eyes. We're good now.
Really? You're still friends?
No, not at all. But I don't want to beat him senseless every time I see him now, so that's a step forward, I think.
His still tense jaw made me wonder if that statement was true at all, but I didn't mention this. I'd say that's a very good step. He squeezed my hips and then put his forehead to my shoulder. I couldn't help but notice I was a great height for him to do that. He wouldn't have been able to do that comfortably with Eve.
I'm so sorry, he said. I told you that we'd come as friends, and then I pull this. I guess I just thought...
That she'd beg for forgiveness tonight?
Yes. Is that wrong? I just wanted a little justice. Some karma or something. Instead, I'm playing a stupid game. I don't do this. I don't play head games with people.
I twirled the hair at the nape of his neck, hoping that Eve was watching because his story had made me feel completely justified in playing head games. Maybe just this once, you can give yourself permission to give her a taste of her own medicine. And it's not like I'm unaware of what you're doing. You're not preying on some random unsuspecting girl to make your ex jealous. I'm fully aware and wholeheartedly in support of making this girl feel at least one small twinge of regret tonight.
And then tomorrow, we'll both be better than this, right?
I laughed. Absolutely. He wrapped his arms around my waist and picked me up, spinning me around once.
You're the best.
He put me down and offered me his smoldering stare that he had unveiled at prom.
So, are you ready for this?
I laughed, not really sure that I was, if he was going to pull out all the stops like that. Yes. He took me by the hand and led me in the opposite direction of Eve, toward the beach. We're going the wrong way, I said.
No, this will drive her nuts, seeing us sneak away from the party.
Oh, right.
There's a place over here that's a little more private. Hopefully it's not taken.
He maneuvered us around some large rocks and then glanced over his shoulder, probably to see if Eve had noticed. He was right. This was very private. A semicircle of rocks blocked us from the view of the party, but gave us the perfect view of the ocean. He'd probably spent a lot of time here with Eve. He plopped down in the smooth sand and pulled on my hand for me to join him. I did. We sat shoulder to shoulder facing the ocean. So, you didn't tell me your sister dressed like...
a drug dealer?
That's not what I was going to say, but that's why I didn't recognize her at prom. She looked so different from the way she does at school.
Yeah, I know. It's just a phase she's going through. She'll be on a new kick in a couple of months.
What? Why?
I'm not sure. I think it might be her way of not letting anyone get too close. She likes to keep the world at an arm's length.
Has she been burned before, too? He tilted his head and thought.
No, actually. Maybe she learns well from those around her.
But you two seem close.
We are. We have a close family. But maybe that's been a disservice to her, because she thinks no one could possibly love the real her as much as we do.
He picked up a handful of sand and let it slowly trickle between his fingers.
What about you? Are you close with your family?
Yes, I said right away. But then I paused. Drew's words about how my parents hadn't really been there for me after I broke up with Bradley coming into my mind. I shook my head to get rid of the thought, and then nodded. Yes. Hayden raised his eyebrows.
You sure about that?
I'm close with my parents, but my brother... I don't know. He's always trying to stir up trouble. He went away to college, though, so it's generally pretty quiet at home. I thought about how Drew had come home this weekend and offered to help me find out if Bradley was cheating. But I think he has good intentions. He wants to be a good brother. He just doesn't do it in the best way sometimes.
That's good. If he's trying, then he cares.
You think so? Maybe I wasn't ready to give up on a relationship with my brother after all. Hearing that he might care more than I thought made me happy.
Yes, I do.
He leaned back on his hands and stared out at the ocean, and I watched as several waves crashed on the shore.
I feel like I'm being selfish tonight. I really should get you home.
It's only like 8 o'clock. He lifted one side of his mouth in a half smile.
And shouldn't the little high school student be going to bed soon?
I laughed.
First of all, there is no school tomorrow. Second, you're in high school too, and we graduate in 4 weeks. Speaking of, why is your girlfriend throwing such an early graduation party?
I'm sure everyone is planning their parties for the end of the month, and she wanted to be the first and the best. Plus, she's probably going somewhere foreign and exotic the second she graduates.
Right.
And she's not my girlfriend.
He leaned forward and took off his shoes.
They're full of sand,
he explained, as he dumped them and set them off to the side. A print of his hand from where he had been leaning was stamped on the sand between us. I traced a line around it, then placed my hand inside of it.
You have long fingers,
he noted, seeing that my fingertips almost reached the top of the print. I do, but the bottom part of your palm is missing from this imprint.
I don't think so.
He held up his hand and nodded for mine. I pressed my hand against his, aligning our palms. The top of my fingers barely reached his first joint.
I guess you're right,
he said. Our hands stayed pressed together for several breaths.
You have sand on your hand.
He took me by the wrist and began gently wiping it off. My phone rang, making me jump. I left it in my pocket. He let go of my hand.
Don't you want to check that?
Not really.
What if it's your parents?
I pulled out my phone to see Bradley's name flashing on the screen. Hayden and I stared at it until it stopped ringing.
Still determining?
He asked, after a moment of silence. I shrugged. He moved his fingers, gesturing for me to hand him my phone. You're not calling him, right? I gave him my phone.
Of course not.
He opened my text messaging, entered a number, and sent off a text. Then he handed me back the phone. I read the message. I decided that Bradley is no good for me. I don't ever need to talk to him again. He did dump me at prom, after all, and left me alone in the parking lot to find my own way home. Plus, he's way too old for me. Who did you send this to? Right as I asked, his phone chimed. He pulled it out, looked at the screen, then typed in something, and tucked it back into his pocket. He nodded his head toward my phone just as it chimed. You are so smart. I completely agree. I'm glad you made the right determination. H, a.k.a. F.I.B. I laughed.
You think so, huh? Having been Bradley for a night, I can honestly say that he is no good for you. I mean, you caught him cheating with that other girl, remember?
I pushed his shoulder. I think that might have been his sister.
Yuck. Even worse.
I smiled. Well, if you're going to determine things for me, then I get to determine things for you.
Okay, that's fair. What's the verdict?
You know what I'm going to say. He didn't deny it. You deserve so much better. She really cheated on you with your best friend. You need to let them both go. Forever. As if she sensed we were talking about her, I heard her voice calling out, Hayden, are you back here? And without a second thought, I launched myself at him. I had just meant to jump into his lap, but my momentum sent him onto his back, me landing on top of him.
Hi,
he said, looking up at me. Hi. His eyes were amazing up close, crystal blue. Eve's voice was louder now, just around the rock, less than 3 seconds from discovering us. He reached up and took my face in his hands. He pulled me toward him, the desire in his eyes spelling out his intentions. Don't do it unless you mean it, I whispered, inches from his lips. I had meant it as a joke, but it came out breathy and serious. He immediately paused, his eyes changing from desire to worry. He turned my head and kissed my cheek instead. I was both disappointed and relieved all at once. I reminded myself what we were really doing. If this didn't make Eve jealous, nothing would. Chapter 15. Oh, I heard Eve gasp. Sorry. We sat up, as if caught. Hayden ran a hand through his hair, brushing off the sand and completely messing up my styling job.
Hi, Eve. Did you need something?
No, I mean, yes, Spencer is looking for you. Hayden's eyes lit up,
Spencer is here?
He just got here. I told him you were coming. Hayden jumped to his feet, then reached down to help me. He pulled me up so hard that I almost ended up on the ground again. Then he took off, looking back once to make sure I was following. I was trying to, but he was moving fast.
They have a total bromance, Eve said,
and I realized she was keeping pace with me.
Well, I'm sure you already know that.
I haven't met him.
No,
they're practically the same person, although Spencer is a little over the top to Hayden's go-with-the-flow routine. I watched Hayden throw his arms around a guy, and they patted each other's backs several times before separating. I could hear their laughter from where I had slowed to a crawl about 30 feet away.
He'd want you to meet him,
Eve said, giving me a little push. Oh, right. I really didn't want Hayden to have to extend this lie to people he actually cared about, but with Eve standing right there, I felt like I had to. I walked forward until I stood next to Hayden. For the first time, I had a clear view of Spencer's face, dark eyes, almost black in this lighting, and I nearly took a step back. I knew him. Well, not really. He went on a date with Lainey once 2 years ago, and I had doubled. The only reason I remembered him was because he'd been a total jerk, mean to her the whole date, then trying to make out with her when it was over. Hayden was in the middle of telling Spencer a story about some scene he had to do for drama.
So I asked the teacher, can this be a monologue?
Spencer laughed.
What did the girl say? She thought I was kidding. And let me guess, you went along with that. What else was I supposed to do? I don't know. Maybe stop worrying about someone else's feelings for once and worry about your grade?
Hayden shrugged.
Whatever. It turned out fine.
Spencer's eyes drifted to me, and I waited for him to recognize me as well, but he didn't. He just seemed to be wondering why this strange girl was interrupting their conversation. It had been 2 years, and he hadn't even been my date. It was understandable that he wouldn't recognize me. Hayden's happy eyes met mine, and they seemed to snap back to reality.
Oh, Gia, hi. Do you know this gorgeous girl?
Spencer asked.
I do. She came with me. You lucky dog. How does an average-looking guy like yourself attract a girl way out of your league? I think it must be my killer charm.
Spencer turned to me.
Would you agree with that assessment?
He is rather charming.
Hmm. I thought I had that in droves.
Eve, who had joined us as well, gave a small laugh.
There's a difference between charming and obnoxious, Spencer.
I'm sure you know that difference well,
Spencer said. Eve raised one eyebrow. I waited for her comeback to him, but both she and Spencer laughed. He rushed forward and threw her over his shoulder.
I'll be back. I'm just going to drop this girl in the ocean as part of her graduation present.
He headed off like he was going to do that very thing.
You better not,
she said, pounding his back.
Save me, Hayden.
Hayden just shrugged with a big smile on his face.
Ryan!
Eve screamed. Both Hayden and I watched as Spencer trudged toward the ocean. Before he made it, Ryan joined them, and they had a fake wrestling match in the sand. Hayden let out a sigh. He seemed so happy for the first time tonight. I didn't need to tell him that Spencer had been a jerk to my friend 2 years ago. Spencer obviously didn't remember, and he had probably changed a lot since then. He seemed different. Nicer.
Your friends are fun, I said.
Yes, we had a lot of fun together.
You miss it.
I miss how it was before. Everything is different now, and it's pointless trying to make it the same.
I hoped he meant that he had given up trying to win Eve back. Neither she nor Ryan deserved him in their lives. Hayden was sitting at a table catching up with Spencer when I came back from the bathroom. I approached him from behind and draped my arms over his shoulders, pressing my cheek against his. Take that, Eve, I thought, as she walked past us with Ryan. The night had cooled considerably, and Hayden's cheek was warm. I felt him smile, then he laced his fingers with mine.
You two are sickeningly cute, aren't you?
Spencer said. Hayden tensed and shifted in his chair. His fingers slipped from mine, and he folded his arms over his chest. Oh no, he felt guilty. He wanted to tell his friend this was a lie. I could sense it because I knew the feeling. It had been one thing for me to lie to Jules. I felt like she'd deserved it. It was a completely different story to lie to Claire and Lainey.
Please don't, I whispered in his ear.
He couldn't tell him tonight, when he had no idea how Spencer would react to this news. For all we knew, he'd run off and tell Eve, and then this night would have been pointless.
You can break up with me tomorrow and let him know.
Hayden offered a stiff nod. I pressed a kiss to the skin right beneath his ear. He smelled so good, I wanted to linger there, take advantage of the last few moments of physical contact we'd have. I felt him shiver, so I pulled away.
You ready to go?
He asked. Stay and talk for another minute. I'll go grab your shoes. He looked down at his still bare feet.
Oh, right. I left them by the rocks. Thanks.
It was getting late. It was darker this time, and the path to the rocks a little less clear. I made it around the bend to see two people making out. Oh, I'm sorry. Eve and Ryan straightened up and faced me, Eve flattening her hair. Sorry, I said again. I just needed to get Hayden's shoes. There they are. I scooped them up.
Are you leaving?
Eve asked. Yes.
Thanks for coming,
Ryan said, as I tried to scurry away.
It's good to see Hayden happy again.
It's all an act, you jerk, I wanted to say. You are the worst friend ever, and don't use his happiness to ease your guilt. Of course, I didn't. Yeah, sure. See you around. Hayden was up and heading my way when I emerged from the rocks.
Thanks,
he said, pointing to the shoes when I met up with him. I was so glad I was the one who had found Eve and Ryan behind that rock just then and not him. He didn't need to see it rubbed in his face any more than he already had tonight. He wrapped me up in a hug and buried his face into my hair.
Thanks for tonight.
I closed my eyes. Of course. It was fun. And I was surprised to realize that I really meant that. Hayden was easy to be around. He tightened one arm around my waist, and his other hand moved up and down my back. Maybe he wanted to take advantage of the last few moments of physical contact we'd have as well.
I had fun, too. Let's get you home.
He let me go and took my hand. I glanced over my shoulder, and sure enough, Eve was standing next to the rocks, staring at us. I should have known his reason for physical contact. Chapter 16. We pulled up to his house, and he turned off the engine and hopped out of the car before I could stop him. When he got to my door and opened it, I said, sorry, I should have mentioned that I need a ride home.
Oh.
He looked up and down the street like he'd see a car waiting for me there.
Did my sister get you?
Yes.
She's so sneaky.
Yes, she is. I stayed sitting in his car, waiting for him to shut the door and go back around to his side. He didn't. He nodded toward his house.
Do you need to get home right away? My sister is going to want a report. I bet you'll give a more satisfying one.
The clock on the dash of his car said 10 p.m. I had 2 hours until curfew. Okay, sure. We walked the path to the front door, and Hayden unlocked it and stepped inside. Beck was sitting on a couch in the living room, and she immediately turned off the television and looked between us.
So?
Hayden put his arm around me.
You'll be happy to know that there were many head games played tonight and much jealousy floating about. I'm not sure exactly who was playing all the games or who was the most jealous, but Gia did all the things that you made her swear to do.
Beck turned to me.
Okay, now I want to know what really happened. None of this vague crap.
At that moment, an older woman came sweeping into the room. Her hair was pulled back into a loose bun, held by a pencil. Tons of flyaway strands had escaped the arrangement, leading to a windblown look.
Hayden, I thought I heard you. I need your face. Mom, I have a friend over.
Hayden pointed at me. She smiled my way.
I don't see how this affects anything. You can bring her.
Beck stood and followed after her mom, who was already walking down the hall without waiting for a response.
It's pointless to argue,
Hayden said.
She always wins.
He led me down the hall and around a corner. Inside a large room with double doors and hardwood floors were tons of paintings, some finished and hanging, some halfway done, others blank canvases. One rested on an easel,
A large sheet covered in paint splatters on the floor beneath it, as if someone had abandoned it right in the middle of painting. We all entered the room.
This is Gia, by the way, Mom.
Oh, I'm sorry. Where are my manners? She extended her hand to me.
I'm Olivia. I'm sorry for stealing this boy away, but I need his gorgeous face. I mean, tell me that face doesn't inspire creativity.
Both Hayden and Beck rolled their eyes.
She says that every time she pulls us in here, and then she creates things like that.
He pointed to a painting of a half-insect, half-zebra face, splitting open to reveal a blooming flower.
My face did not inspire that.
It really did, his mom said.
She just gets lonely in here, Beck said.
My children mock me, but they are my muses. She studied me then.
I think you could be my muse as well. Your bone structure is amazing.
Don't let her fool you, Beck said. What she means is that she wants to paint bones, probably dinosaur bones or something, while she stares at you. Olivia did not seem offended by the banter. She just laughed and began to paint, while Hayden sat on the stool in front of her. By the way she studied him, it seemed she was using him as a model. But I could see her canvas, and it was most definitely not Hayden. Beck looked at me.
So, Spill, tell us everything that happened tonight.
I glanced at their mom, not really sure I wanted to admit to the act of lying in front of her.
My mom already knows, Beck said. And while she doesn't condone it, she can see why our immature brains might feel it necessary.
You are misquoting me, Rebecca. I said that revenge is the product of misdirected emotions, but that I had a few emotions regarding Eve as well.
You did not say misdirected, Beck said loudly. I specifically remember you saying immature.
Maybe I said underdeveloped.
Same thing,
both Beck and Hayden said together. Olivia applied a broad stroke of navy blue paint to her canvas, right beneath the crooked purple eyes already painted there.
My point was that revenge is never the answer.
Yeah, yeah. Beck waved her hand at her mom, then turned to me. So anyway, tell us about the revenge. I looked at her mom and wondered if she was upset that they were fighting. She didn't seem bothered at all. Okay, so Eve was there with Ryan.
I knew it, Beck yelled. They're still together, aren't they?
I nodded, but you were right. She wanted Hayden, too.
She did not, Hayden said.
Then why did she hug you and sit so close and put her hand on your leg?
She put her hand on your leg?
Beck's expression went hard.
She did?
Hayden asked.
Oh, please, Beck said. You know she did. Don't try to play all innocent, Hayden, and you probably liked it.
Hayden just met her stare with an even expression that I couldn't read.
So please tell me you got back at her, Beck said, looking at me.
There was hand-holding and hugging. We danced.
And Gia jumped on top of me, Hayden said.
I gasped. His mom turned toward me. I did not, sort of. It was an accident. I didn't mean to knock you down.
Tell me she saw, Beck said, smiling.
She did. Beck spun in a circle once, her arms outstretched. Then she grabbed me by the shoulders and shook me.
You are awesome. Revenge is awesome.
Olivia cleared her throat.
Because I have a very, very immature brain, Beck added.
Tomorrow we are all going to be better people, Olivia said, which was almost the same thing Hayden had said earlier. I caught his eye and he nodded once. Better people. The way they had both said it made me want to try. Chapter 17. Hayden slid off the stool.
Where are you going? I'm not finished being inspired, Olivia said.
Hayden directed Beck onto the stool in his place.
I need to take Gia home. She's had enough of our crazy family for one night, I am sure.
Bye, Gia, Beck said.
Thanks for doing everything I asked you to.
It's like she said it to remind Hayden, or me, that tonight was an act, not real. Hayden didn't need to be reminded. He had put on a perfect show. Olivia gave me a hug without using her hands,
which were dotted with paint, pressing her wrists to my shoulders.
Good to meet you. I was serious about that bone structure. Come back and see me.
I smiled.
Dinosaur bones,
Beck said as Hayden and I left. Hayden glanced at me a few times as we walked down the hall.
My family is weird, but I love them.
Your family is awesome. Your mom isn't... I trailed off, not wanting to bring up a bad subject.
Isn't what? Normal? Sane?
I shook my head. No, of course not. It's just she and Beck were kind of fighting. She's not mad, is she?
Mad?
About the whole revenge thing?
No, she's not mad.
He opened the front door for me and the cold air bit at my cheeks, making me realize they were hot.
And if you think that was fighting, then you haven't seen Beck fight.
I just can't believe you told your mom about your revenge plans.
It's my sister. She's the center of all our craziness.
I can see that.
I'm sure you can, considering what she forced you to do tonight.
She didn't force me, I said. I wouldn't mind hanging out again, but I couldn't admit that. It felt weird, like I wanted something more from him, and I didn't. We were both putting on an act. It would be completely ridiculous to read into an act.
Well, I know she asked you to, so thank you. You did really well. Have you ever thought about studying acting?
I laughed as I climbed into his car. No, I haven't.
It's fun though, right? It's like a natural high to perform a scene like we basically did tonight.
His eyes were shining, and I could see that he'd enjoyed the night for a different reason than I did. It was fun.
My mom's right, though,
he said.
It was super immature of me to want payback. But in a small way, I feel a little better now.
Do you at least have closure? I know that's what you wanted.
Yes, I do. No looking back.
No looking back, I repeated. I directed him to my house, and when he stopped at the curb, I jumped out before he turned off the engine. I didn't want to make him pretend to be my date anymore, so I was surprised when I was halfway up the sidewalk and he was suddenly beside me.
You're fast,
he said. Oh, you don't have to walk me up.
I can't help it. My dad raised me right.
Where was your dad tonight?
He goes to bed early and wakes up with his son.
So, your mom named you, but are you more like your dad or your mom?
Do you mean, am I a wild, free spirit or a conservative early riser?
Yes.
What do you think?
He asked. I don't know. You went to prom with me at the drop of a hat, no questions asked.
I asked questions.
Not ones that mattered.
You were too pretty for those questions.
I smiled and tried not to be too flattered, but a few butterflies took flight in my stomach. Don't you mean too lonely? He gave me a smirk.
Well, that too.
We made it to the doorstep and I turned toward him. So prom night makes me think you're like your mom. But then you walk me up to my door out of the obligation instilled in you to be a gentleman, and that makes me think you're more like your dad.
My mom might take offense to that.
Why?
Because had she taken you home, she would have probably walked you to your door, too.
So then I'd be standing on my front porch with your mom. He chuckled.
Yeah, not a great image.
So you're saying you're like your mom?
No, you got it right. I'm a little bit of my mom, a little of my dad, and a lot of me.
Well, that's a very good mixture. I pulled out my keys to unlock the door. I had fun tonight.
What would you have done tonight if you hadn't gone with me?
He asked. Logan's party. I hadn't even thought about it since the beginning of the night. At first, I'd even thought that the second Hayden dropped me off, I would head straight there for the end of it. But I didn't feel like doing that at all right now. My friend from school is having a party tonight. He's thrown some killer... I trailed off, because I couldn't remember the last time a party had really been all that killer. Hayden tilted his head like he was waiting for me to finish. He was giving me that look again, the one where he was searching for something beyond what I was offering. Hadn't he learned by now that what he saw was what he got?
Go on,
he said. Never mind. It was stupid. The front door opened then. How could I forget that my parents always waited up for me, and my dad appeared.
Gia?
He said. Yes, sorry, I'm coming in. My dad took one step out.
Hello, I'm Mr. Montgomery.
Good to meet you, sir. I'm Hayden.
My dad looked at me to explain who this was, and I didn't know how. He just brought me home. Thanks, Hayden. I walked inside and heard my dad offer a better goodbye than I had, then closed the door. My mom sat on the couch reading.
How did studying go?
I don't think she was studying, my dad said.
What?
My mom looked concerned. The girl you met earlier, it was her brother. The one I told you about, he gave me a ride home.
Well, why didn't you say so?
My dad asked. I just did. I looked between the two of them, waiting for them to ask more, to accuse me of not being where I said I was. My mom just folded the blanket she'd been using and placed it on the couch. I tried to imagine what would happen if I told them about revenge and fake dating. The images in my brain consisted of a lot of sputtering speeches and confused looks. I'm going to bed.
Say goodnight to your brother, too. He's leaving first thing in the morning.
Okay. I knocked lightly on my brother's door, but there was no answer. I cracked it open and saw that he was already in bed. He rolled over and sat up a little.
Hi, G. You're home.
Yes. Just saying goodnight. Have a safe drive tomorrow. He dropped back onto his pillow.
What was up with Goth Girl earlier? Why are you hanging out with her?
She's just a friend. Sort of. He gave a sharp laugh that caused tension to spring into my chest, and I shut his door before he said something rude. Hayden was wrong. My brother didn't want a relationship with me. After spending some time with Hayden and Beck, I could see that what my brother and I had wasn't great. When I got to my room, I started a group text with Claire and Lainey to let them know I wouldn't be joining them. We ended up texting about my date. They gave me the expected responses, lots of exclamation marks and all caps, which tonight didn't feel as satisfying as they normally did. Chapter 18. The morning sun shone through my window, and I rolled over, rubbing my eyes. I stared at the ceiling, thinking about the night before, what Hayden and his mom had said about being better. I wondered what a better person consisted of, where I was supposed to start. My mom knocked on my door, then poked her head into my room. Good morning. Your friends are here. My friends? My phone said it wasn't even 10 a.m. Should I tell them to come up? Sure. She closed my door and I rushed over to the mirror above my dresser to see how out of control my hair was. It was bad. I had just enough time to run a brush through it before my door opened and Claire, Lainey, and Jules burst through, a combination of laughter and perfume. Hi. I put a smile on and plopped back on my bed where Claire had sat. What's going on? I wondered why they were all together without me. Had I forgotten something we planned? Claire, who seemed to read my mind, said, Jules kidnapped Lainey and me this morning, and then we came over to say hi. Oh. I looked at Jules, wondering if that was part of the original plan, or if she was hoping to leave me out and then casually mention at school on Monday that they had hung out together. Jules didn't give away her hand. She just put on a pleasant smile. I heard you went on a blind date last night. That's crazy. I would never go on a blind date. Yeah, remember I told you I was going on one when I invited you to come over and help me get ready? You never called me. Maybe you thought you did because you called Claire and Lainey. You probably just forgot. She smiled sweetly. It's okay. It's not a big deal. Jules, I called you. Claire looked between the two of us. Maybe you did forget, Gia. You think I'm lying? No, I already assured Jules that you would never lie to us. That's why there must be a different explanation. I closed my eyes. Right. I'd never lie to them. How could I get upset and accuse Jules of lying to them right now when I was doing the same thing? I swallowed my pride, willing to let this one go, at least until I came clean myself and moved on. Well, I know I told you, so maybe you just forgot. She shrugged. Maybe. So, was your blind date fun? Yes, it was. What did you do? Her questions always made her sound like the lead investigator at a crime scene. We went to a graduation party for one of his friends.
So, is he weird?
No, he's not.
If his sister has to find dates for him, he must be at least a little weird.
I just want to know what favor you owed her to make you agree to dating her brother.
Yeah, seriously, Claire said. I'm curious too.
I just haven't been very nice to her or her friends, which was true.
That's good that you could help her out then, Lainey said.
Yes, it is.
My laptop sat closed on my desk, and Jules pointed at it.
Can I use it for a sec?
Sure.
When she sat down and powered it on, I went to my closet and pulled out clothes.
Is your brother still in town? Claire asked.
I narrowed my eyes at her, but it was hard to portray anger when I was smiling. She laughed.
What? Drew and I have a connection.
This time, I laughed. No, he left. She made an overly dramatic, sad face.
So, is this where the kidnapping adventure was meant to end, or are we going somewhere?
Lainey bit her lip.
Well, we're going somewhere, but we knew you probably wouldn't want to come, so we just wanted to say hi before we went.
Where are you going?
Matt texted me about 10 minutes ago and asked if we all wanted to surf today. I guess his uncle is in town and is this world champion surfer or something, and wanted to know if any of his friends wanted some free lessons.
Claire nodded.
We thought we'd make it a group date, so I called Tyler and Jules and Garrett.
I looked at Jules, who was still on the computer.
That sounds fun.
Her eyes swung to mine and she tilted her head.
It does?
Claire asked.
So you'll come?
Why not? I should at least try it before I decide I hate it, right?
Claire smacked my arm.
That's what I've been saying forever.
It's about time I listened.
You should ask your blind date from last night to come with us.
It would actually be really fun to call Hayden and ask him to go on a group date with my friends and me. I liked hanging out with him, and he'd probably think surfing with some professional was the coolest date ever. But there was a huge problem with this. There were actually probably a lot more problems than just one, but I didn't want to think about how Hayden and I were only acting, and he would probably say no to a real date anyway. The main problem was that my friends couldn't see Hayden again. Ever. He was Bradley to them.
It's too soon to ask him out again, but I'd love to come if I wouldn't be some sort of third or seventh wheel.
Of course you wouldn't be a seventh wheel. I did feel a little like the odd-numbered wheel, but I could see how Claire might find surfing peaceful, the gentle rocking of the waves as we waited for one to ride, the power of the ocean as it pushed us along. And Matt's uncle was really cool. Without him, I was sure I wouldn't have been able to catch a wave at all on my first time out, and I'd caught quite a few. But now the others were riding while Claire and I lay on our boards, side by side, hands linked so we wouldn't float away from each other.
You seem quiet. You okay?
I'm good.
Are you having fun?
She asked.
Yes, I am, actually.
Don't sound so surprised.
I laughed.
Well, I'm not used to being the worst at something, so that's my only complaint.
Well, that and my completely valid original points, the cold water, salt in my hair, and
sand everywhere, I know.
She smiled over at me.
I'm impressed, Claire. You're really good.
And you taught Jules, right?
She nodded.
You did a good job. She's good, too.
She squeezed my hand.
Should we catch another?
Just as she asked, Jules paddled up.
Did you see me ride that one? My longest yet.
I sat up on my board and Claire followed.
We missed it.
My gaze found Tyler, who was riding a wave now.
Did you see that trick he just did? Way to find a surfer boy, Claire.
I didn't even know he surfed until after prom.
And he's Claire's date, Gia, Jules said.
I know.
It's just you've been flirting with him all day. I thought I should remind you.
What?
Jules, Claire said.
Stop, it's nothing.
I turned my stare to her now because it's nothing wasn't even close to she is not.
I haven't been trying to, Claire, I promise.
I know, Gia, you're just friendly. Seriously, it's nothing.
Jules gave me a look like, it's something. And I wondered if this was something they had talked about before.